There might be one in the pew there in front of you. You're welcome to join us there. If not, just listen as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, beginning in verse 12, and I'd like to read down through verse number 20. Here's what the Bible says. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep, that is, had died in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. Since the year 325 AD, Easter has been on the Christian calendar and marked down as that first Sunday after the full moon of the vernal equinox. That's stuff you paid a little bit of attention to in school when you were in science class, but you generally do like me. You just wait till the calendars come out, and then you look and see when Easter is. Is it going to be in March or is it going to be in April? And basically it runs from March the 22nd to April the 25th, somewhere in that range. And certainly Easter represents a lot of things besides it just being our friend day. It's a special day, special services. We do some fun things for the kids. We have some extra special songs that are sung. Families tend to get together. I don't know if you have any Easter memories. I have some. I can remember as a boy we got together and there was somebody in my family, I don't know who it was, that in the boiled egg, somebody stuck a raw egg in that bunch. Now, I don't know who that was. I don't want anybody pointing fingers of accusation at me as if I would be that mischievous as a 13-year-old boy. But I can remember my Aunt Doris got an egg cracked on her head. If you don't get an egg cracked on your head at Easter time, it's just not Easter. But when it's not a boiled egg and it's a raw egg, you can get in a lot of trouble with your mom and daddy. As a matter of fact, I happen to know by personal experience, though I'm not the one that put the egg in there, I did get a whooping. I got blamed for something I did not do. This is something like Derek Massey would do, but not me, but I did. I got in trouble. That's one of my memories. Maybe you've got some others that you'd think about. But almost always, as I was a boy growing up, it's getting together with family and friends and loved ones and relatives. And in particular, you always had that aunt who said, well, I remember you when you just knee-high to a grasshopper. I guess they all went to the same school and learned that same phrase. It doesn't matter if it's California or Michigan or down in South Georgia or North Florida. Everybody knows that phrase. You remember when you was just knee-high to a grasshopper. I don't know if maybe that's the way you think of Easter. Every year we're reminded about it. But let's remind ourselves of the real reason. Now, most of us probably put more emphasis and focus on another Christian holiday, Christmas, when we recognize and celebrate the birth of Jesus. But let's understand this. The birth of Jesus has zero significance if there's not an Easter. If there is not a resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then His birth doesn't make Him anything special because He just grows up and dies like everybody else. He's buried in a tomb, and that is the end of it. I'm glad I don't have a Savior who's just buried in a tomb somewhere, but He is alive. The resurrection of Jesus is the one truth that we need to make sure that we focus on and emphasize. And what exactly does the resurrection of Jesus prove to us? Well, a lot of things. We'll look at them in just a moment. I'll be brief this morning, but I hope you'll listen well as we talk about it. A Sunday school teacher was teaching a group of four-year-olds, and it was Easter Sunday, and she asked the question, does anybody know what today is? And a little girl in the back raised her hand up, and she said, yes, ma'am, I know. Today is Easter. The teacher then paused just a moment and then said, well, does anybody here know what makes Easter so special? The same little girl raised her hand up in the back. She was really quick-witted, and she said, Easter is special because Jesus rose from the dead. And before the teacher could ever compliment her, she added this to it, but if he sees his shadow, he's got to go back in for 7 weeks. Now, you know as well as I do, that's not true about Jesus, but that little girl was trying to get everything in line, I reckon, like she wanted to. Something's focused or for our focus this morning in this passage that I read to you. There were several ifs. Let me read a couple of them to you. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13, if there be no resurrection, if Christ be not risen, verse number 14. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised. So there's an emphasis put on if. Now, I don't think you ought to live in a world of what ifs, but I want to ask you a question this morning. What if there had been no Easter? What if we went back 2,000 plus years and there was no Easter? No resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What would that mean to us? It's almost an unthinkable question, an unattainable idea to think about it for just a few moments this morning. What if there had been no Easter? Would that impact you? Would that affect your family? Would that affect our lives? I think it would. And I'll give you real quickly some things that I believe are found in this passage. If there had been no Easter, number one, preaching would be profitless. What do you mean by that? Notice what we read in verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached, now I hope it won't be true, but you've probably been in church services before where you heard a preacher preach and all you got was boredom. Maybe you went somewhere, maybe all it was entertainment. Maybe somewhere you went and heard somebody speak and it was just like, I don't know what he's trying to say. Maybe you've been in, I've been in all kind of church services my life, been in all kind of different churches. I've heard different styles of preachers. Some, I don't know if y'all are familiar with this, but some are more the teacher type preacher. They just kind of talk monotone. They never raise their voice. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus raised from the dead. And they never change their tone. Others occasionally raise their voice. Hey, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. That's another style. And then, of course, you've got the classic one is the hacking preacher. The wind-sucking preachers. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That's the ones that go, and Jesus said in the Bible, and if you don't get saved, and I don't know why they got all them if you took all, I've heard some preachers preach, if you took all the uhs and the wind sucking out of it, it'd be a 5-minute sermon, but it takes them like an hour and a half. Now, you say, what style are you? Whatever comes out, that's me. I just open up and let her fly. I don't really have a set style, I guess. I guess some people that listen to me might be better off to declare that rather than me. But what I found out is that preaching is God's chosen method of delivering the gospel. Now, God could have chosen angels to fly over us and sprinkle the gospel message and gospel literature over our heads, but He didn't choose that. He could have chosen to use the animal kingdom or the mineral kingdom. He could have chosen to use any of things in nature, but He didn't. He chose the method we know as preaching. Sometimes it's foolishness to those that are lost and people don't understand how a guy can get up there and read from the Bible and holler a few times and they call that preaching. I read about a little boy the other day. He went to his mom and said, Mama, he's about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. Mama, I've decided I'm going to be a preacher. Really? You're going to be a preacher? Yes. Well, what made you decide that? He said, well, I figure I got to go to church anyhow because y'all dragged me there and dragged me there and it'd be a lot more fun to stand up in front of everybody and yell than it would be just to sit in the pew. Maybe some of y'all would like to yell every now and then. Well, please yell amen at me, all right? Don't yell one of them, shut up, preacher. I don't like those kind. I got a few ladies around here at the church that do that anyway, so y'all pray for them. God's chosen a certain method in that preaching. The preaching of the cross, the preaching that Jesus died, the preaching that forgiveness of sins is available, the preaching that Jesus rose from the dead, all of that is profitless. It is empty. It is vain. It means absolutely nothing if Jesus didn't rise again from the dead. Can I put it another way? If Jesus is still dead and He is not alive, then I ought to just cash all this in, quit what I'm doing, and go get an honest job because this would be a whole lie that I'm doing up here doing this preaching. I think we ought to think about it just a little bit. Preaching would be profitless. Let me show you a second thing. Our faith would be foolish. Notice, if you will, in verse number 14, these are the words that spread. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Some of y'all said amen when I said I might as well cash it all in and go get an honest job, but the truth is, there ain't no need to have church if Jesus isn't risen from the dead. What are we? A social club? What are we? Something like the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club or the Lions Club? Listen, churches are different than just the average club that has social gatherings and social events where people get together and intermingle. Church is where we celebrate literally not just on Easter. Every Lord's Day, every Sunday is a resurrection day in which we proclaim this message. He is alive. He is not dead. What a great thought it is to know that not only, listen, your faith and mine is no better than the object we put our faith in. Perhaps you've seen sometimes it's illustrated by putting a chair up here. And you can say that you have faith in the chair, faith in the chair, faith in the chair. But let's get you to sit in the chair. And now you're resting upon that chair. Now you've actually illustrated, adapted, put into action your faith. But what if the chair is rotten? What if the chair is wobbly? What if the chair crumbles under your weight? Then all of a sudden your faith in a sturdy chair is completely foolish because the chair collapsed under the weight of you sitting in it. Listen, it's only, our faith is only as good as the object. Now my object of my faith is not, now listen carefully, it's not a church. The object of my faith is not a cross on a wall. The object of my faith is not a necklace around my neck, a crucifix. The object of my faith is not any trinket or symbol that might be available in the Christian world. It's not even other Christians. By the way, other Christians and preachers can let you down. But if you put your trust in Jesus and you put all of your heart and soul into Him, you will never be let down by Jesus Christ. If He did not rise from the dead, if there never was an Easter, preaching is profitless. Faith is foolish. We need to be careful. You know, Confucius might as well be right if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The old preacher Bobby McGeer that comes by here all the time always says that Confucius had to be wrong because he was always confused. I don't know if that's right or not, but I'll tell you this much. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, then you might as well pick Confucius or Mohammed or Buddha or any of them out there that you want to pick. But the thing that makes Christianity different is our Lord and Savior does not have bones buried in a tomb somewhere. He came alive from the dead to live forevermore. Number three, the disciples would be deceivers. I read this in verse 15 and 16. It says this, "Yea, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ from the dead." The book of 1 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul. He's been preaching, writing books, testifying all across Asia Minor, traveling everywhere, establishing churches. And his point is this, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then I have been putting out a lie, and all of the disciples that have believed in Jesus and followed Him, every single one of us is absolutely and positively deceiving you. Now here's what I believe. I believe there's a lot of deceivers in this world. I believe the deceivers are going to increase as we get closer to the second coming of Christ. I think one day the greatest deceiver that's ever lived, the Antichrist, is going to step on the scene. Now, I personally think he may already be alive in the day and time in which we're living. I don't know who he is. It's not your mother-in-law. Just go ahead and mark that one off the list right there. Some of y'all are thinking that. Not your mother-in-law, not your father-in-law, not your boss man, not your boss lady, not somebody you dislike. I don't know who the Antichrist is, but I believe he's a master deceiver. Antichrist, not just against Christ, but a counterfeit Christ. I don't believe that the Jesus of the Mormon church is the true Jesus. I don't believe that the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is the true Jesus. I believe there's some Baptist churches that preach the wrong Jesus. I believe in a Jesus who is real, who is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried. He had shed His blood to wash my sin away that they sang about earlier. And then I believe that He came forth out of the grave, and that resurrection proves He is the Son of God. Our preaching would be profitless. Our faith would be foolish. All of the disciples, us included, would be deceivers. We would be lying to people. Fourthly, sin would be sovereign. Realize this, every one of us in this room today is a sinner. Now, I know some of y'all came here hoping I'd just pat you on the back, and I've tried to do that. I want to be friendly to you. But the fact is, all of us, me included, we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I studied that word one time, that word "all." I looked it up in the Greek language. You know what I found out it meant? It meant all. For all have sinned. Wait a minute. You mean young'uns are sinners? Have y'all tried raising them? Did y'all ever, now think about it for a minute, with your children, did you ever have to teach them to lie? Or did they just pick that up? I know what you're thinking, they picked it up from the deacon's kids living next door. Well, they may have. The fact of the matter is, we are born sinners, We are sinners by nature, we are sinners by practice, and we are sinners by choice. We can't blame it on, well, I can't help the way I was born. No, you can't help the way you were born. But there comes a time in life when you can make a decision, you can make a choice to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and ask His forgiveness for all of them. You saw the video. The women that were despised and rejected and ridiculed and shamed in that video who were brought to Jesus. One of them was that Samaritan woman at the well that gave Him some water. The other was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Another was Mary Magdalene, the first to get to the tomb there in the little video. You know that every one of them had a horrible, sordid, wicked, vile past. A lot of nasty sins. We ain't talking about stealing bubblegum. We're not talking about grabbing somebody's pencil at school. We're not talking about just saying something behind somebody's back. We're talking about sinful, a bad, sinful life. But let me tell you this. Jesus' blood washes all those sins away. You ain't too bad for God to save you. Now, you might be too good for Him to save you. I'm good enough. I don't need this religion. I don't need this churchianity. I don't need it. No, you probably don't need religion and churchianity. But what you do need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive all your sin. And so glad that He did. But if He's not raised from the dead, sin is sovereign. What I mean by that, sin's got control. Sin will continue to rule your life until you give your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, I'm almost done. Death would have dominion. Verse 18 says this, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. 2010, my mother died in May. 2010, in June, 21 days later, my daddy died. Now that was a tough time for us. But you want to tell me that my mama and my daddy died just like a dog or an animal or a flower or some, you know, bacteria? I don't believe it. You never convinced me of that. When I read my Bible, my parents have fallen asleep in Jesus. In the Bible, falling asleep like that is a symbolic way of saying someone has died. And so we often speak, maybe you've seen somebody in a casket and you've said, well, you know, they look like they're sleeping. Well, that's a biblical word. Sleep is identified with somebody passing away. Well, my mom and dad died, but listen to me. I remember thinking this back again, 2010, 8 years ago. And I thought this, mom and daddy were alive and mom and daddy are dead. But I had to stop and rethink that. Mom and daddy died, but they're alive again. Their body ceased to live, but their soul and their spirit left this earth. Though the bodies were in the casket, mom and dad's spirit and soul left their body. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Left and immediately was in the presence of the Lord. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Now listen, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, if there is no Easter, there never was one, and we've all been lying about this thing, that my mom and daddy are dead for good. 2007, we lost a granddaughter, 7 weeks old. If I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. Because I believe with all of my heart, little Hannah died here on earth and her soul and spirit went to be with Jesus up in heaven. But you listen to me. If there was no Easter, she's just as dead as any dog or cat or bush or plant or anything out there in the world. It just dies and goes back to the dust. I don't believe that. I believe God made us with more than just a body. He made us with a soul and spirit. And I'm hoping this is true. I'm hoping that our soul and spirit is better looking than our bodies. This means there's hope for Tim Manning. God bless him. I appreciate that so much. Anyway, all right, let me give you the last one. Listen carefully. This is very important and I'm done. The future would be fearful. Nothing to look forward to. Verse number 19 says this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If there is no afterlife. Well, one time I seen this show on TV, preacher, and they was talking, interviewing these people that had these near-death experiences, or some people died and they came back from the dead. You know, it's amazed me that people will see a TV program like that that's, you know, directed and produced in some fancy way with a few special effects, and will actually believe and buy into that stuff regardless of who the people are telling it. I mean, they might be drunks, they might be bank robbers, they might just be normal everyday citizens, but it's like it will believe anything rather than just believe what the Word of God says. Why don't we get back to saying this much? I don't know what kind of experiences these people had, but I believe this. Whatever experience it was, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I'm going to trust the Bible instead of the experiences of other people. It makes all the difference in the world. If Jesus, somebody said it this way, if Jesus Christ is still in that grave, nothing really matters. But if Jesus came out of that grave, then nothing but that really matters. And I believe that with all my heart. Now, having said all that, if Jesus did rise from the dead, then now the opposite of those things are true. Preaching really is profitable. Somebody can get saved when the gospel is preached. Faith is feasible. You can actually believe and trust the Lord. Disciples are dependable. Sin has been subdued. You can find victory even over your sin. Death has been defeated, and the future is absolutely fabulous for us because we're looking for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He rose again, as they sang earlier. Miss Andrew and Miss Abby, they sung earlier about Jesus rising from the dead, but the last part of that is not just He came forth, but that He is coming back one day to receive us unto Himself. I guess I'll never forget the little illustration that I read many, many years ago of a young boy who was in the famous art museum over in Paris, the Louvre. While he was there, there's a portrait there of Jesus hanging on the cross and dying. And there was a man looking at it in deep and meditative thought, imagining what all that meant when Jesus died. The little boy came up to him and reached up and tugged on his coat. And he said, yeah, what is it, son? He said, mister, that man right there in that picture, he died for me. And the little boy turned and run off, you know, kind of scared. The man stood there and he thought it was so cute, you know, for the little boy to say that. He kept looking at the picture and kept thinking about it. In just a minute or two, the little boy came back and grabbed him by the coat and yanked it again. He said, oh, mister, I forgot to tell you, he didn't stay dead. Aren't you glad we have a Savior that died for us, but He didn't stay dead? He changed your life. He changed my life. I guarantee you He can change yours. Trust Him as your Savior today. Let's stand together.